Hello and welcome to FX Talk, an Ebury podcast all about the foreign exchange market, where we break down some of the main news headlines and financial markets and give our take on what these developments might mean for the world of FX. My name is Matthew Ryan, Senior Market Analyst here at Ebury, and I'm joined as always on the podcast by two of my colleagues, our Chief Risk Officer, Enrique Diaz-Alvarez, and Market Analyst, Roman Zurek. Welcome everyone to today's podcast episode. I'll start by giving a very brief overview as to the latest developments we've seen in the market since our last episode 3 weeks ago. And it's been a period that's been largely characterized by a risk-off trading. If we look at the FX performance tracker for the past sort of month or so, the three best performers in the G10 have been the traditional safe havens, Swiss franc, Japanese yen, and US dollar in that order. Meanwhile, the higher risk currencies, including the likes of the Norwegian kroner, Australian dollar, have largely underperformed. Now, this has a lot to do with the aggressive spread of the Delta variant that we've seen around much of the world in the past few weeks. We've seen relatively sharp increases in infection in many nations, including some of the major ones. The US and the UK, for instance, have seen jumps in new cases, although the vaccination programs there have allowed for a near total removal of restrictions in those two countries. I guess the real cause for concern is the sharp uptick in contagion witnessed in those nations that have so far lagged behind in vaccinations. Many in Asia, for example, have been forced to impose strict lockdowns in recent weeks in order to halt the virus's spread. And this has raised concerns over global growth and caused traders to favour lower risk investments. As tend to be the case during these risk-off periods, emerging market currencies have sold off across the board, with almost all of those that we cover losing ground versus the dollar in the past month. This has been led by many of the currencies in the South American region, notably the likes of the Colombian peso, Brazilian real, both of which are down around about 5% for the month. At the same time, inflationary pressures are continuing to build amid rising commodity prices and, of course, supply shortages. A handful of G10 and emerging market central banks have already started either raising interest rates or signalling that higher rates are on the horizon, and we expect others to follow suit between now and the end of the year. One that we very much expect won't be following suit is the European Central Bank, which recently announced a tweak to its inflation target. Now, instead of targeting inflation close to but below 2%, the bank will now adopt a symmetric inflation target of 2%, much more in line with most of its major peers. So I'm joined by Roman on today's podcast. We're going to hand over to Roman. So Roman, what do you think that this change in policy from the ECB means? How do you think this is going to impact the currency markets?
Yes. So first of all, I don't think that the change has been very significant. We are talking about moving probably by around 0.1 percentage point or maybe slightly higher from the previous target, if we consider that right now they focus on the fact that it's a symmetrical target. And generally, I think that what it brings to the table is probably a commitment to a supporting the European economies for longer. So we might see the asset purchase program running down for longer than expected. We could even see an expansion in this program later down the road, which is quite contradictory to what we are seeing in many other countries, in some emerging market countries, particularly in Europe, in Central and Eastern Europe. Today we had the news that Hungary conducted its second interest rate hike. It was also recently we saw a hike from Czech Republic, which will probably be followed by another hike. We saw some interest rate increases recently in Russia, which hiked by 100 basis points. Also, Latin America has hiked interest rates, Brazil and Mexico. So, and some G10 countries are readying to increase interest rates, particularly Norway and New Zealand, which are likely to do it this year. So we are in an interesting environment where the European Central Bank is one of the most dovish central banks in the G10. And this has certainly not been a positive for the euro, contrasted with the rather hawkish tone of the Federal Reserve. So we might find ourselves in a place where we are going to see some form of tapering in the United States in the next few months, or at least the announcement of it in the next few months, while we might see a potential increase either in the pace of purchases or in the time that the purchases will be conducted for. So this is certainly not something that is a positive for the euro, and this could be dragging the currency down a bit. However, there are contrasting factors. So particularly if we are going to see a reversal in this risk off that you mentioned, this is something that wouldn't be positive for the dollar, and this should provide some support for the euro, I think.
Yeah, and as you quite rightly said, I think this announcement, to me anyway, it just sort of confirms the ECB's lag status when it comes to G10 central banks. Again, as you mentioned, most of which have already shifted to a slightly more hawkish stance. We've seen, as you mentioned, Reserve Bank of New Zealand, Bank of Canada, Norges Bank, for instance, have all already sort of either signaled ends to their asset purchase programs or hinted that higher rates are on the horizon. But the ECB is clearly giving itself a little bit of leeway. They now want to see inflation hit 2% by the midpoint of their forecast horizon. At the moment, that stretches to the end of 2023, but is extended by a year every December. So effectively, this really means that they may look through temporary increases in prices more so than they would have done under the old inflation target. And there's certainly less pressure on policymakers to raise interest rates now, I think, even if inflation were to trend higher. If we look at the reaction in the market, I guess the reaction was relatively limited to this announcement, but that was not really a big surprise. I guess the market is not and hasn't been expecting higher rates from the ECB anytime soon. This announcement, I guess, merely confirms the market's view rather than necessarily changes it anyway. But I do admit, I think this lack of appetite for interest rate hikes on the part of the ECB does present a little bit of a downside risk to the euro over our forecast horizon. Although we're still pretty optimistic, I think, over the for the euro over the next sort of 6 months to 18 months. Okay, I think we'll move on to our second main topic, and that is to talk about the recent flight from risk that I mentioned at the start of the episode. As I said, we've seen the safe haven currencies rally against almost every other currency in the world in the past few weeks. US bond yields have dropped slightly. Equity indices also fell sharply last week, although for the most part, they've recovered very well and much better than currencies. If we look at the S&P 500 index, for instance, that's back up to yet another record high today. But as I said, most EM currencies remain lower for the month. The MSCI Emerging Market Currency Index is now back around the 103 level, which is around its lowest level in about 3 months. And the market clearly remains jittery surrounding the spread of the Delta variant around the world, its potential impact on the global economic activity. And we've already seen tightening restrictions in many countries in Asia, for instance, as I mentioned, Thailand, Japan, likes of Indonesia, for instance, have tightened restrictions. Also Australia, of course, where we've seen a fresh round of protests against the government's new restrictions. The real question, I guess, is how long this uncertainty will drag on and whether this sell-off in EM currencies and risk assets in general is a sustainable one. So passing over to you, Roman, what do you think about this recent flight from risk that we've seen, and how do you think that risk assets, including emerging markets, will trade in the sort of near and medium term?
I generally think that the extent of the sell-off that we saw recently in the risk assets, particularly the emerging market currencies, has been too significant, particularly considering that the main economies that we are watching are doing quite good. So overall, the global economy should be supported by the positive performance of the US economy, of the European economies, and of the economies that have undertaken a some vaccine progress, there is some risk that the situation in the emerging market countries, particularly of those where the vaccination rates haven't been good and that are battling with a significant increases in cases, hospitalizations and death, that this will negatively affect growth. But I still think that the extent of this negative effect should be mostly limited. And although I can understand some idiosyncratic sell-offs in the particular countries that are battling with the, another wave of the virus at the moment, it seems that the recent situation, the recent fear has spread to even to the countries that should, to the currencies of countries that are not having such issues, or at least those issues are much more manageable. And I think that this has been too extensive, because some emerging market currencies are acting at the moment similarly to as they did in at the turn of the year, or even in March of 2020, where we had a pretty significant flight from risk. While it, I don't believe that what we are seeing right now justifies it. We are not in the global recession. We are seeing a significant rebound. Economic numbers are, for the most part, rather strong. And I generally think that if what what's going on with Asia and some emerging market countries is a risk, then it's only a rather small risk.
I tend to agree. Yeah, I think we have had a bit of a slight overreaction, I would say, to the increase in case numbers that we've seen. I think actually we've been saying this for a little while now, and I think the return to normal after the pandemic was never going to be a plain sailing one. It's not sort of a straight open road. There are going to be bumps along the way, and unfortunately, the spread of the Delta variant in particular has come at a rather difficult time for many nations. Particularly those that we've mentioned are lagging behind in vaccinations and not yet vaccinated enough of their population in order to unwind restrictions. We've touched on Asia, of course, which I think for me would be one of the big causes for concern at the moment. We've seen sharp increases in infection in many countries in the Asian continent. And look at the likes of, say, India, Thailand, Indonesia, have not yet vaccinated 30% of their population, which I don't think is anywhere near enough for these countries to open up their economies to a significant extent without incurring an increase in hospitalizations and deaths. So I think restrictions will be needed for a little while yet in order for these vaccination programs to catch up, which does present, of course, a little bit of a risk to global economic activity in the short term. But I think once they do, once these vaccination programs do catch up, I think we'll see a fairly swift return to sort of near normal economic activity, which is good news for emerging market currencies. I still have a pretty optimistic view on EM currencies in general over our forecast horizon. And as we've seen in the UK, for instance, I mean, these vaccines are proving highly effective, particularly against the Delta variant as well. And we're actually starting to see decreases in new case numbers in the UK, for instance, despite the removal of all restrictions, which is very encouraging news. I think we'll finish now with our spotlight currency for the week, which this week is the South African rand. Now, the rand has been one of the currencies that has experienced among the most aggressive swings during the pandemic period, sold off violently. Of course, at the onset of the crisis, although it's bounced back very strongly, and actually in the past 12 months has been the best performer in the EM spectrum, up over 10% versus the US dollar. But the currency has been on the back foot again in the past few weeks, partly a result of the civil unrest protests that were sparked following the imprisonment of former President Jacob Zuma. We've seen widespread looting and violence, and unfortunately a death toll that has risen above 300. And that is partly why we've seen that sell-off in the rand in the last few weeks or so. But what's your view, Roman, on the South African rand? Do you think it's a buy, sell, or a hold opportunity?
So this definitely isn't my favorite emerging market currency. Rand is one of the more volatile ones, and South Africa has a lot of internal issues, some of which we could recently see with this wave of violent protests and looting just a few weeks ago. And also, South Africa right now has a rather difficult situation when it comes to COVID. So recently we saw another wave that seems to have peaked in early July. However, it was rather significant, and we saw both a rather significant increase in the number of cases as well as hospitalizations and deaths. In addition, the currency's population is not really vaccinated, so only around 4% of the population have received the two vaccines or have been fully vaccinated. So this is definitely not sufficient for the battle against the Delta variant, and it poses a risk to South African economy and South African rand. This recent wave of COVID has resulted in a imposition of new restrictions, which are now one of the toughest in the world, next to the Asian ones. Although I think that the currency should most likely in the short term appreciate as those risks will pass, as the dust settles after those protests and after this peak in COVID cases, I think that the country's fundamentals aren't the best. And generally, there are many other emerging market currencies that I think are better positioned for a recovery. One of the things that South Africa has had traditionally in the past were high interest rates. However, in an environment where we might see higher interest rates in many G10 countries, and when we are already seeing increases in many emerging market countries, I think that also this allure of high interest rates in South Africa has decreased from the past. So I would probably say halt. I think that the currency has the potential to recover some of the recent losses, and also our general call for the emerging market currencies is a positive one. However, I see some risks ahead, particularly because of the lack of vaccination in the country, some internal problems, and I wouldn't be as positive as I typically am for an emerging market currencies.
So I have a slightly more upbeat view, I guess. I think the rand for me is a currency that I've had a relatively bullish view on for a little while yet. I think the political uncertainty that you mentioned, I think that tends to only have sort of a short-term impact on currencies. I expect that to be the case in this instance. And in the case of COVID as well, I think once this latest sort of wave of infection passes, I think that should be good news for the rand. South Africa as well, it still offers relatively high carry. The current account as well has turned positive for the first time in two decades, which is very encouraging. And the vaccination program, as you mentioned, has got off to a very slow start, but we have seen, have begun to see a little bit of a pickup in pace in vaccinations there in the last few weeks, which is another encouraging sign. And as I mentioned, I think the rand is one of the more sensitive currencies to sort of swings in global risk sentiment in the EM universe. So for me, I guess it sort of stands to reason that the rand may benefit disproportionately from an improvement in risk sentiment than we're expecting over our forecast horizon as COVID restrictions are unwound and as economies return to sort of near normal capacity. So for me, I think I would have the rand as a buy opportunity, but not a particularly strong one for many of the reasons that you mentioned, Roman. And that's it from us. If you're keen to hear more about our thoughts on the FX market, visit Ebury's website, follow us on social media. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favourite podcast app. And let us know if there are any topics you would like to hear more on during upcoming episodes. Keep an eye out for our next episode in a fortnight's time. Thank you all very much for listening.